This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to fabulous and really interesting women about a variety of subjects. I'm Yvonne O'Brien and my lovely co-presenter today is Sharon Finch. Hi, Sharon.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How's things going?
Very good. I've got my new shoes on, which I've showed you, and now I'm going to introduce the two guests. So, today we've got two fantastic guests in the studio to talk about a charity educating parents and health professionals about healthy pregnancy and what it's like to be a successful singer-songwriter. That all sounds very interesting, so if you'd like to join in with any questions or comments, please email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk and we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, Sharon. So to start the programme today, I'd like to welcome Elizabeth Hutton from Kix Count. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome back. Lovely to hear from you again.
Thank you for having me back.
You're more than welcome. Before we talk about the amazing work you're currently doing, can you just tell the listeners a bit about your background, what's brought you to this point?
Yeah, well, basically, I've been doing the charity now for about 4 years, and it's a charity about raising awareness of babies' movements in pregnancy to try and encourage women to report if they notice any change in that, which will hopefully reduce the number of stillbirths that there are in the UK every year. And we've been building kind of year on year from that, and at the moment, it's all going pretty well.
And I know originally it was called Count the Kicks, wasn't it? And you've changed the name. There was a reason behind that. What was the reason?
Well, there was. There used to be a long, long time ago. There used to be a thing called the Cardiff Count to 10 method, which was that women were told to count 10 kicks in 2 hours, and that was a sign that their baby was well. And that was then discredited, and so they moved away. And it was get to know your baby's own pattern of movement, which is what we, as Count the Kicks, always encouraged, was to get to know your baby's regular pattern of movement and report any change. But what we found was that some midwives were getting confused and thinking that we were suggesting counting to 10, recommending the old count to 10 method. Yeah. And so they were reluctant to share our information because they thought it was the incorrect information, even though it was the right information. So to try and kind of get out any ambiguity, any confusion, we decided the simplest way would be to change the name, get rid of any insinuation that you count to anything, and just go for kicks count, as in the kicks matter, the kicks are important, get to know your baby's own pattern and report any change. So it was kind of to get rid of any confusion and make sure our message was absolutely clear.
So that's kind of a relatively new thing in the last few months, is that right?
Yeah, it was January this year that the name change came through. And, already we've seen a massive improvement in the number of midwives taking up our information and also the amount that we're able to work with the NHS as well, because they're a lot more open to using our information and things like that because there is now no confusion over the name.
That's brilliant.
Elizabeth, how do the wristbands work?
They have numbers embossed on them. And what you do is you start the day on zero, and then each time you feel a session of movement, you slide the counter along. And that helps you get to know what your baby's regular pattern is and how often your baby moves. And we have also brought out an app now that also does the same thing, so that women who maybe don't want to wear a wristband but always have their phone on them, they can do the same sort of thing with the app as well.
So the wristband or the app count how many times you move it over rather than you count it yourself?
You do it yourself. So you move the counter along and then it will be over a number. So you can look at the end of each day and see kind of what number you've got up to.
Is it a myth that in the last trimester the movements are reduced?
Yeah, that is a very common myth, mm-hmm. and something that we hear a lot of people say is they'll say that the baby runs out of room or that the baby... Yeah. slows down because it's getting ready to be born, and both of those are incorrect. The baby doesn't slow down at the end, and it shouldn't slow down. The baby should continue to move the same throughout. The movements will gradually increase slowly up to about 32 weeks, and then they'll stay the same, and they'll stay the same right the way through to birth, and even move during labour. So there should be no reason that the baby's movements should slow down.
I mean, as Sharon said, I was told the same sort of information. So where was the information coming from? Was it coming from midwives? Because obviously my children are a lot older now, so it wasn't something I can remember whether it's fellow friends telling me that, or I actually thought it was coming from the hospital.
It tends to be, there are some, they schools of thought obviously change with more research and things like that. We're obviously a lot more knowledgeable now about babies' patterns of movements and things like that. So in the past, that's where these kind of myths stem from, is previously held beliefs that the baby would slow down and the baby was running out of room. But we now know that's not true. But because there are generations of women who are passing down the information to daughters, granddaughters, things like that, that information still gets passed around, you know, and it's still out there that people still believe it, and they will pass it on to other women in forums, in friendship groups, things like that. And that's where the danger comes from, is we need to be educating women enough that there is, that if somebody mentions that their baby slows down, that everybody around them knows to say, then call your midwife. And nobody is saying, oh, well, actually, no, I've heard that babies do slow down at the end because they're running out of room, or, you know. And at the moment, I mean, there's still some pregnancy websites, pregnancy apps that still say that babies' movements slow down at the end of pregnancy. And, you know, women are signing up to these developmental reports and development emails and things like that for the information. And when they're getting something that says their baby's movements will slow down, that is so, so dangerous. And, you know, at the moment, there's no regulation around these apps and websites. They can put whatever they want on there, and that is so dangerous. That is something that we're really trying to change.
In your experience, are they health professionals taking this seriously, or have you had any cases where they've said, oh, don't worry about it?
On the whole, I'd say the medical profession are fully on board with this. You know, the Royal College of Midwives is very hot on fetal movement at the moment, as are the NHS, the Department of Health. Everyone like that is very, very keen on fetal movements, and it's a high priority at the moment, as is stillbirth. So you do still get the odd midwife who will say that the baby slows down, or tell a mum, you know, it's fine, don't worry about it. But what we hope to do is give them, the mum, enough confidence that if she is told that it's fine and not to worry about it, if she still thinks it's not, she's got the confidence to say, well, actually, no, I'd like to see someone else. Or because, I mean, if you think about the sheer number of people there are in the health profession, you know, it only takes one or two to pass on the incorrect information. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, as a profession, and as boards and colleges and things like that, they are fully on board, fully supportive. You know, we do work with other organisations. We work with Tommy's and the NHS to get out fetal movement information as widely as we can.
How do you do that, Elizabeth? I mean, do you get the chance, for example, to go in and teach the midwives when they're doing their training to get the message out there right at the source, or how is it promoted?
We personally do the Royal College of Midwives Conference every year, which has a lot of senior midwives, for us to give them, let them know what information we have available to them, what things that they can pass on to mums and things like that. And we have a lot of trusts that at the moment already use our information. And because the thing is, most of the midwives, they know this information, they know how important babies' movements are, and it's finding a way of getting that message to the mums. So often they're very appreciative that we've got all these resources available to them. You know, we've got leaflets, an app, we've got notes to go in maternity, pages to go in maternity notes, stickers, all kinds of things that we can do to help them enforce this message to them.
Sure.
And so kind of midwife is a great way for us to get that across. And then through other organisations as well, where we often go and we meet with other senior midwives, and they can then pass it down to their teams and things like that. So it's a great way for us to reach midwives. But then we also aim to reach mums direct as well, just to make sure we're kind of emphasising that message, and maybe if they're not getting the information from their midwife, they can get it from somewhere else. You know, we've got our leaflets are in bounty packs, which majority of mums get at some point in their pregnancy, and, you know, Facebook page, websites, all things like that that mums and mums-to-be will use, we're trying to get our name in there.
Sure. And how do they order the wristbands?
Yeah, they're all available on our website. So kickscount.org.uk, and then you can order wristbands. And there's also a section on there for any midwives or health professionals who want to order batches of leaflets and things like that, because all of our literature and resources are free. So they can order a regular monthly order of leaflets and things like that to go out to the mums.
I've got one question that just popped into my mind. If you're having twins, how does that work with the wristbands?
That's one of the things that hasn't fully been researched yet. Well, we haven't found any kind of conclusive research on it. The way that we recommend is to, in the beginning, when you're maybe not sure of which twin is which, you can get to know the bump as a whole. So if you notice that the movements are less, maybe they're not as strong as they used to be, maybe you're feeling less movements, it almost doesn't matter which twin it is. What's important is that there has been a reduction, so you would need to get checked. So you would get checked on that, and then as the pregnancy progresses and you can start to identify which twin is which, then you would have the joyous task of keeping track of each one and, you know, getting to know each baby's individual pattern.
Not even going to ask about triplets or quads. We won't even go there. One of the statistics I read on your website, which really surprised me, was it says only 10% of stillbirths are caused by fetal congenital abnormality, meaning there is the potential to save up to 90% of these babies. More than a third of stillbirths happen after 37 weeks when the baby is deemed full term and could safely be delivered. That's a pretty shocking statistic.
It is, and it's something that there's often this misconception that stillbirths happen for a reason, you know, that there's it's for the best, or, you know, there was going to be something wrong with the baby if it had been delivered alive, and all these things that you hear that just aren't true. It's so frustrating because there's almost a complacency around it of, oh well, you know, that's nature, there's nothing we can do about it. And actually, no, it's not. We can do a heck of a lot about it, and we can really make a difference. And you can see that in other countries as well. You know, Norway has had a massive reduction in their stillbirth rate. They did a similar campaign, also called Kicks Count, where they educated mums on the importance of babies' movements and things like that, and their stillbirth rate reduced by 50%. Mm. And there's lots of countries where there has been a massive reduction in stillbirth rates, which shows it can be done. And ours at the moment, you know, in the UK, we're still
second worst, haven't we?
Third, yeah, in the developed world, yeah. And it's, you know, there's so many things that we can be doing. And what we can't do is just accept that stillbirths happen. That is the worst thing we can do. You know, we shouldn't be accepting it, because as you've read in those statistics, it's not a definitive thing. You know, it's not a case of that stillbirth was always going to happen. And actually, there's so many opportunities we've got to try and prevent stillbirth, and we need to be doing everything we can.
Is there too much? Is there a thing as too much movement that causes concern as well, or is it just the least movement that is the main cause?
It's any change that we would recommend getting seen. So if it was a rapid increase in movement, we would recommend reporting that as well. But again, the research on that is limited. There is so much research on reduced fetal movement, and it's something that we're looking into, is to do more research into increased fetal movement. But at the moment, the research on that is limited. So what we suggest is, if you notice a sudden increase and you're concerned, then you would call your midwife anyway, as you should with anything. You know, if you've got any concerns about your pregnancy, you shouldn't be going on Google, going on forums, asking your friends. You should be going, just picking up your phone and phoning a midwife. There's always a midwife at the end of the phone, be it at the hospital or your community midwife. Somebody will always be there to answer your question, and they would rather hear from you. So absolutely any concern, even if you're not sure if it even should be an issue, then phone them. You know, ask them, should I be worried about this? And that is where you'll get your answer from, not speaking to friends or family who don't know your medical history. They don't know the ins and outs of pregnancy. So that is one of the key messages. If you are concerned, then speak to somebody.
It sounds like the charity reaches out to so many people, and your contact levels are so high. Do you have enough people and funding for the charity at the moment? Are you looking to increase both?
We're always looking for more support for the charity. We do have some absolutely amazing fundraisers who do amazing things for our charity. But we often also find that we are perceived to be a lot bigger than we are, because we've got such a big following, especially on Facebook, and we've got this a very big online presence. is there's a misconception that actually we are this big, huge charity, and we're not. We are a small team. We all work from home, always looking for more support, more funds for us to be able to reach more women, because we do have such a high demand for our literature, and we need to print, we need to be able to get out there, and we need to also have the resources to, you know, maintain our website, to keep the app going, to keep all these things that kind of we need to keep ticking along. And then we also want to, you know, widen our scope into other areas as well. So while at the moment we can tick along, what we would love is to be able to raise more funds and go into specific areas of the population who really need the information. So, you know, you've got women in deprived areas are twice as likely to have a stillbirth. Teenage mums are at an increased risk of stillbirth, and we want to be able to target those groups specifically. And that's something that we would really love to kind of get funding for, and to do more things like that, set up more projects and really reach everybody and get that stillbirth rate right down.
Elizabeth, what do you think the reason is that we find it hard to reach those sectors at the moment? Why isn't the message getting across to everybody? I mean, and those people in particularly not?
Well, there's kind of a lot of evidence around that women in deprived areas are less likely to go to antenatal appointments, are more likely to be smokers. And the statistics are around those. Obviously, that's a big generalization, and it's not the same for everybody. Sure. But on the whole, those areas, there is less contact with the antenatal team, which obviously limits the amount of information that you get given. And also, they don't necessarily feel they can then contact them with any worries. And they often are relying on this word of mouth, this, you know, things that they're seeing in TV programs, magazines. And that is that, you know, there should be more responsibility for people in TV media, things like that, to make sure anything like this is the correct information. Because despite what anybody says, that is where some people get their information from. So we recently saw In the Club, where the BBC programme had incorrect information on babies' movements, saying that babies slow down at the end. And you sort of think that, you know, this is a high-profile programme. They should be giving the correct information.
Of course, yeah.
Because all these, that, you know, there are women who that is where they're gleaning this information from.
Well, that leads me to a nice question, actually, because do you ever get the opportunity to go on programmes like This Morning or any of the breakfast shows and things like that to promote the charity?
We've done some in the past. We did. We recently worked with Hollyoaks, which was a really big storyline, with the Mercedes stillbirth storyline, and about they really wanted to get the point across that there was a reduction in movements that maybe could have been dealt with earlier, and maybe she wouldn't have gone on to have that stillbirth. And it was a really powerful storyline, and we were absolutely thrilled to have been involved in that and being able to make sure that they at least got that side of the story correct. The thing with things like This Morning and GMTV and breakfast programs like that is there tends to need to be a new story around it. There doesn't tend to just be go on for these things, but we are, you know, we're always trying to get more celebrity ambassadors on board and patrons on board. Emma Crosby has recently come on board as an ambassador for us, which is we're delighted about. But yeah, we're always looking for more ways to get that message out and more ways to reach a wider audience.
So how can people support the charity? What can they do to raise money to help you?
We have lots of ways. There are simple things that people can do. Like, for example, you can send us your used stamps and we can use those to raise funds. We have all kinds of recycling things, clothes that we can use, clothes and various things like that. Or you can do a run for us. You can do sponsored events. And we have a whole section on our website under the fundraising tab, which has ideas of things you could do, you know, in terms of a coffee morning. We have a great fundraising team who will support anyone who wants to raise money for us. We also have text donation numbers if you want to text to donate or set up a monthly text donation. So there's absolutely loads of ways people can get involved, from very little effort to lots of effort, depending on how much time or effort you want to put in, really.
Do you have much involvement with Net Mums? Are they advertising
as well?
Yeah,
they support us. We try and get do some bits and pieces with them from time to time, and some of the other big websites as well support us with things like that. We were part of a Mumsnet giving campaign last year, which was great, that they matched any donation we received for the week, which was obviously a big boost for us.
And what in the future, what would you like to see for Kicks Count?
I would like to see us have our information, as we are at the moment, in every bounty pack, but also in every hospital and doctor surgery and anywhere where a pregnant woman will be. I would love to see us have a leaflet and a poster everywhere that women are going to see that. And also, you know, tie up with a big retailer or something who can help us get our message across and get these big partnerships up and running to really get the message out there.
Elizabeth, can you tell us a bit about your latest campaign running jointly with Copperfield?
Yeah, from the beginning of this year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And having found the lump and done all the work I've done with Kicks Count and thinking, this doesn't feel right. So my advice to myself would always be go and get it checked as soon as possible, which is obviously what I did. And I then sort of saw Copperfield and thought, that's exactly... their message is the same as ours. They're telling women, get to know your own body, and if you notice any change, report it. So I contacted them to say, look, you know, we've got this message, Kicks Count, Copperfield, whether it be your baby or your boobs, that we've got the same message. So I started a campaign to raise funds for both charities, and also to do a text donation number for both and do fundraising for both. And I've got I'm currently undergoing treatment at the moment, so I'm not capable of really doing big marathons and things like that. So a lot of my friends are doing them on my behalf and raising the money that way. So it's a great, you know, it's a great thing, and it's a great partnership because it's the same audience we're trying to reach. You know, it's women of a certain age, you know, well, from 18 up to 40, really. You know, Copperfield is very much about young women with breast cancer and making sure they are aware that it's not just as you get older, it also can affect you when you're in your 20s. So it's a great partnership, really, to be teaming up with them and doing fundraising for them as well.
Just two amazing causes joining together. Have you learned anything from each other and each other's strategies to put the message out there?
Yeah, I've noticed that they have a great celebrity backing, and that's something that I've sort of thought that is a great way to get awareness out there to young people. Is we all know the celebrities, we all recognise celebrities, and so I think that's a really powerful strategy of theirs. They run bigger events than we do, which I think is down to them being a slightly bigger charity. But they're definitely, their promotion and their awareness raising is fantastic. And I think, you know, it's a great, great campaign, and they've got some great names behind them.
You mentioned before that in Norway, the statistics had significantly dropped because of Kickstart. Is there a thirst for, or is there any possibility of international communication so that it could be dealt with internationally as opposed to domestically?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I mean, obviously with the internet these days and everything kind of being digital, it's a lot easier for things like that to happen. So, yeah, that's definitely something that we would love to do in the future.
Elizabeth, before we start to wrap this up, can I just ask you one last question? If you could talk to a younger you, say 15 to 20 years ago, what would you say to her?
Enjoy it, really. Don't worry about what's coming next. You know, don't worry about what's going to happen in 30, 40 years. Just enjoy the year that you're in at the moment and do what you can. I think there's from what I thought, the life I thought I'd have 20 years ago, kind of I've been thrown a few curveballs along the way, but actually I haven't ended up in a worse place. I've just ended up in a different place. So I wouldn't necessarily spend so much time worrying about, you know, am I going to get married? Am I going to have kids? Where am I going to live? What are we going to do? What am I going to do for a living? Because even from 5 years ago, you know, I'm doing a completely different job now. And this is where life has taken me to do this, to do Kicks Count and to have this passion. And I never would have imagined that even 5 years ago. So to kind of, I would say to myself, just focus on the now and don't worry about what's what's coming, what's around the corner. I just wait for it to come and enjoy it and make the most of it, really.
Fantastic words there. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure as always talking to you. Is there any advice you can offer our expectant mums out there?
Give yourself the knowledge. Get to know what you can about babies' movements and get to know what you can generally about pregnancy. You know, knowledge is power. Empower yourself with the information so you're not relying on old wives' tales and stories here and there. You know, really give yourself the knowledge and the confidence to take control of your own pregnancy and trust your instincts.
Brilliant.
That is the key.
Thank you. And if you can confirm your website again for the listeners.
Yeah, it's kickscount.org.uk.
And is there an email address that people can contact you on as well if they need to?
Yeah, it's info@kickscount.org.uk.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. That's
all right, no problem. Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you, and I hope you make a speedy recovery.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
So that was Elizabeth Hutton from kickscount.org. And now we're going to have a short ad break, and we're back to talk to our next guest, Tashara Forrest, a singer-songwriter. So stay with us.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
The amazing Cheese and Chilli Festival returns to Shalford Park in Guildford on the 22nd and 23rd of July. We're celebrating all things cheese and chilli with lots to entertain the whole family. Stunt shows, live music, falconry display, magic shows, Punch and Judy, the not-to-be-missed chilli-eating competition and lots more. There's real ale and cider bars, demonstrations including a wine masterclass and cooking with chilies. There's even a craft market to pick up some unique gifts. Early bird tickets available online at a discounted rate. Check out our website or visit the Guildford Tourist Information Centre. Cheese and Chilli Festival, Shalford Park, Guildford, 22nd and 23rd of July.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group with two superior salons. One in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyling and finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website hairmechanics.co.uk or call 01932 350 877. Hair Mechanics, Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Our next guest is Tashara Forrest, but before we talk to her, we're going to listen to one of her songs that she is a singer-songwriter.
One day I was thinking out loud, thinking, why does this thing called life have to be so hard? So many complications and different situations compounded into one big mess. But through it all, if we could just hold on, we would make it through, yeah. Through it all, if we could just hold on, we would make it through, make it through. So take it easy, yeah. Take it easy, yeah. Take it easy, yeah. Just take one day at a time.
keep holding on. Take it easy.
Life may be brisk, don't feel this way.
Take it easy.
Only tomorrow is left. Give along the way. If I know things are going your way, take life easy. Take life easy.
Take it easy.
Take life easy.
I'm delighted now to welcome our second guest, who is Tashara Forrest, a singer and songwriter. Welcome to the show, Tashara.
Thank you.
Have you always sung from being a wee bairn? That's my first question.
Yes, I have. My dad's a musician and my mum was a dancer. And so I kind of grew up in that kind of environment. And, you know, studio is like my second home. I was in the studio from before I could even speak or walk. So, yeah, I've always sung. On the side mostly, through school and college and university, I'd always sing. I'd sing in church and sing, you know, for various different events and stuff, just, you know, as and when people asked. But, yeah, now I'm doing it pretty much full time, which is great.
And your inspiration, apart from your dad and your mum, was it from church? Was it from other singers when you were younger, or a combination of all of those?
Yeah, a combination of it all, really. I loved, probably, I'm a pop girl, so I love all the current stuff. And but
Sharon's an ABBA fan, so.
Woohoo! Yeah, I love ABBA too.
Don't get started on that, please.
I kind of grew up on Capital FM. Everyone laughs at me when I say that, but it was, you know, permanently tuned in on my radio that I had. My parents and my dad would have the vinyls at home and play all the, you know, Earth, Wind and Fire and Bob Marley and Michael Jackson, Prince, you know. So got all the soul in me too. So we'd go to church as well. So had the gospel influence as well.
What would you describe your singing style as now?
I think I'm a fusion between pop, soul, bit of jazz in there every now and again, and gospel, definitely.
And you're a backing vocalist for the legendary Soul to Soul, aren't you?
I am.
I've actually heard her sing.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Very good it was too. I came to London.
Yes, she did. Yes.
That must be pretty cool to sing with Soul to Soul.
Yeah, it is. I love it. We're doing a festival tour at the moment, so I'm really, really busy this summer, and it's been really good so far. Going all over the country and meeting, you know, lots of people, and most importantly singing and, you know, dancing, which is what I love to do. And the band's great, Karen and Jazzy B and all the girls and the musicians, everyone's just great and, you know, great to work with. So I feel really blessed to be, you know, in the band and having this opportunity.
Yeah. And so which part do you prefer most? Is it the being on stage performing, or is it the writing songs?
I definitely love performing.
That is the thing.
everyone knows I'm a big performer now. But I do enjoy, you know, getting into the studio and writing and, you know, creating something new and you know, expressing, you know, those deep things within musically, and rehearsals as well are really good, just to kind of throw out ideas and try new things, and then you get to try, you know, show it and share what you've done in private with everybody, you know, when you're performing. So a bit of both, but yeah, I love to perform. It's great.
And inspiration for your songs, where does that come from?
Life, experiences. The Take It Easy I wrote actually just not too long after my mum passed away, about 6 years ago now. And it was a way of me channeling everything that I was feeling and, you know, grappling with at the time into, you know, and I put it all into that song. And like I said, I go to church and, you know, my relationship with God as well. One of the first songs that I wrote and recorded was with a good friend of mine who's an amazing producer, writer, songwriter, singer and everything. And we wrote a song called The Sacrifice of Praise. And yeah, so that was, you know, my experience of God. Mm. And that was about that. And I've written a few love songs as well, but I haven't released any of those yet. Cause funnily enough, I just feel like really weird, like sharing all those mushy emotions with everybody.
You can sing it to us after. Yeah. We'll give you our verdict. And you've got a son who's two, yes. I think you said. Has your music or songwriting changed since he was born?
You know what? I really suffered with baby brain when I was pregnant and afterwards. And so I haven't really written that much since he's been there, but I do sing to him often and just make up songs on the spot, just little, you know, some rhymes and things that he can enjoy. I have recently been back in the studio the last couple of months and writing again since, you know, I've had him. So, yeah, slowly my mind is coming back.
I don't want to worry you, but Ivana and me, 18 years and we still haven't got ours back.
No. I hate to tell you that, Tashara. Sorry, man. Would you like Caleb to follow in your footsteps?
Yeah, I'd love him to. He's a little singer already. When I'm rehearsing at home, he does his little adds his little two bits in here and there. It's really quite funny. It's so cute. But I just want to encourage him to, you know, be and do whatever it is that he wants to do, and just introduce him to as much as I can, and you know, help allow him to choose what he wants.
And you've got an EP that's just about to be finished, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the listeners, what does EP mean? It's an extended play, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just
like a 12-inch,
a shorter version of an album. So it's not quite, you know, the 10, 12, 15 songs that you would have on an album. So my EP will have 4 tracks on there. It's just like a taster of what I'm about, and, you know, my style and what I sound like, you know. And in time, I might do another EP, or I might do a whole album, who knows.
And from listening to some of the songs I've listened to you do already, you like, yeah, your lyrics to inspire people, don't you?
Yes,
there has to be a message in there.
Definitely.
A lot of country and western country.
Yeah, it's so funny actually. I love to watch Nashville. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's one of my favorite programs. And yeah, I really do. A lot of their stuff does resonate with me. Because I used to work as a personal advisor for Connections, as you know. and I then trained as a counsellor and a coach. So a lot of the things that I write about I'd like to inspire and help people. If I can't be in a one-to-one session with them, I feel like my song is that one-to-one session with somebody, helping them and inspiring them and encouraging them, even though we might not know each other. I just want to be able to, you know, be somebody's light, somebody's answer, somebody's, yeah, inspiration through my music.
You mentioned vinyls before. Are you tempted to bring out your own vinyls?
Maybe. Who knows?
They're making a comeback, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's a machine over here, but nobody wants to give it to me. Yeah.
My dad's got one. I'd have to go all the way to Wales to play it.
Because you'll play ABBA songs on it, Sharon. That's why you're not having that.
I might do a bit of rock. You never know. And was your dad's singing style similar to yours?
My dad is more... was... Oh, their music was like funk, with a bit of reggae, soul, all mixed together. So yeah, it was. I forgot what you said now. Sorry,
baby brain.
Sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. That's it.
You're gonna edit it out. I forgot what you said.
Oh, I think, dear, you answered it. Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any? Is there any other countries? information you get from other countries? I mean, you mentioned America and Nashville, but yeah. Are there any other countries where you love their national sound and it comes into your music?
Some years ago, I went to South Africa, and it was a little tour that I was doing when I was in the praise and worship team I was at. For the church that I was at the time, and I loved their music, their expression, and it was just so full of, like, you know, words can't even express, you know, and I just love the way that African interpretation of music and stuff is. So I would say that's quite something that I quite enjoy. Yeah,
you wrote the soundtrack to the musical What's Your Story, yes. And some of the script as well. That must have been great to have done something like that.
Yeah, it was.
And what would you say your favourite musical was? I mean, Sharon's has to be Mamma Mia, because the ABBA influence. But what would you say yours was to Sharon?
The last musical I watched was Wicked.
Oh, and I love Wicked.
I really enjoyed that. And I quite liked the twist at the end as well, that she wasn't really wicked.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good. Oh, I've probably spoiled that for anyone that wants to watch that, but sorry.
Never mind. It's all a dream. It's not even real.
It's not even real. But growing up, my mum used to take us to musicals all the time, so I've seen quite a lot. But I would say that probably stands up quite a lot. I liked Starlight Express as well, and of course, Lion King.
Have you seen The Stomp?
I haven't, no.
Have you heard?
Yeah, definitely. I need to go and see that.
That was so clever. Apart from the dust coming off the stage when they're stomping around and, you know, flies in your eye.
Yeah.
The sounds they made with tins and water, it was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Really good. So, yeah, I do see other things apart from ABBA.
I'm impressed, Sharon. I'm impressed. Well, we're just going to take a short ad break because that's the time of day it is at the moment. And then we'll be back to talk to Tashara Forrest again. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Are you finding running your paywall increasingly difficult? Especially with auto-enrolment and real-time paywalls now a fact of life. Why not pass all this to Goddard's Accountants, whose specialists will deal with all these problems? Goddard's will remove the hassle, leaving you to expand your business. And, as we've been in our business for 40 years, you know you're in good hands. Phone us on 020 8941 2187 for the expert advice you require. Goddard's Accountants, West Molesey. We take away your pain, so you get the gain.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women, and we're continuing to talk to Tashara Forrest, who's a singer-songwriter. Tashara, you've talked a lot about what you're doing already, but there's a lot more that you're doing that we haven't talked about. So what other projects have you got on the go at the minute?
Well, as well as finishing off my EP, which I'm pr- Aquarium will be finished at some point this year. I've also got an acoustic duo, which I perform with regularly for weddings and, you know, special events and things like that. And I've recently started singing with X Factor's Boopsy, with a couple of other girls as well. We sing a lot of Motown, soul, disco stuff, and off in the nice sparkly dresses and lovely routines and stuff. So big wigs and that. So that's really, really fun to do.
Is that in a studio or on a live show?
Yeah,
oh, brilliant. So where do you do that?
All over the country. So you often see me, well, you won't see me, but you often hear me, I'll see my tweets that I'm you know, Western Supermare, or I'm at Norwich or wherever. The last one we was at Pontins performing there. So yeah, it's keeping me really busy, which is great, because, you know, it's what I love to do.
Talking about the X Factor, I have to ask this question. What was it like working with James Arthur?
Oh, do you know, he was really sweet. He's in my experience of him, he was a really nice guy. So I was quite sad when I heard about all the things that he was coming out with and stuff, because he wasn't like that when I worked with him. It was a long a video day that we did. It was over more than 12 hours, and it was take after take after take. But, you know, the team that we was working with were excellent, and yeah, James was nice. We, you know, chatted, and you know, and he was lovely. He's like, you know, if you ever want to sing back up for me, then you can. He said, if you want to sing backing vocals for me when you finish singing with Soul to Soul, I definitely would take you. So
yeah. I'd like to hear you and Ivana have a little song, actually.
I'm not good.
That's irrelevant.
But you have heard me sing once, haven't you?
When?
At my 50th.
Yeah.
Is it true? Can she not sing?
A Shirley Bassey number.
She was amazing.
She has to say that. Tashara, who do you look up to in relation to your singing and songwriting? Who do you really admire?
Oh my gosh.
That's a tough question. Probably so many.
Questions, yeah.
Because you mentioned Prince at the beginning and Michael Jackson, and you mentioned someone else at the beginning, didn't you? There's a few people.
Bob Marley.
Yeah, I was really sad about Prince, by the way, and he was a real inspiration. I loved his music. I used to always sing along with Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, and just tried to copy all of their riffs and tried to, you know, sing on point and exactly how they were doing it. The gospel, Kim Burrell and Fred Hammond and Israel Houghton, and just, yeah, all these.
Okay, just trip off the tongue.
Yeah, now I have a chance to think. Anyone that's got a positive message and, you know, a song that I can really resonate with, and, you know, I can really appreciate the way they put the song together and vocally arranged, you know. Even recently, James Bay, I love his music, and his voice is, like, you know, just so enjoyable to listen to. Yeah, mine's blank now, so
that was loads. Thank you.
Okay,
I'm looking at it for your cup of tea, and I'm wondering because some singers drink warm water with lemon in the morning. Yes. Do you do stuff like that?
I do. When I'm gonna go in the studio, or if I'm gonna if I'm about to perform or something, I won't really drink any caffeine. I'll just be drinking warm water. Actually, I drink a lot of water.
Yeah. And you mentioned you do weddings, which can be quite an interesting, highly charged situation. So how does that work with your... Do you choose the songs? Do they choose the songs? Or
yes, a bit of both. So I have a set list, which if you ever come across my website, tashoraforest.com, you will see the range of songs that I do sing. But I also am open to whatever it is that whoever it is that wants to have on their in the set. So as long as they give me enough notice, I'll learn whatever it is that they want to be performed.
Have you come across flying owls or dogs with little rings around their necks or anything like that? Any weird stuff?
No, not yet.
I have to say, a friend of mine, when she got married, she had as her first song, so obviously you might get to see people's first songs.
Yeah.
You Won't Find Another Fool Like Me. Which I thought was
fantastic. So funny.
That was fantastic. So you got your website, Tashara, My Little Book of Inspiration. So
Yes.
I know you love your quotes. What's your favourite quote of all time?
Oh, gosh.
Shall I tell you what mine is? I'll give you a few seconds to
go
think.
On then.
So mine is, none of us can change our yesterdays, but all of us can change our tomorrows.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. That's by Colin Powell, former Secretary of State to the US.
I'm trying to think of an ABBA song, but anyway. I'm so shallow.
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that question because I've put you on the spot there. We'll come back to that.
Yeah, all right, thanks.
I know that lots of people approach you and ask you to sing with them.
Yeah.
Do you have an agent or do you literally do it just from word of mouth and through your own work?
It is word of mouth as well as obviously my website. I do have an agent, which doesn't really get me that much work, but he does get me some work, and I'm on a few music websites as well, and just networking really, and a lot of it is word of mouth.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, it's been that time of day again. We've got to start to wrap up the interview, Tashara. Mm. If there's anyone listening out there that's thinking of taking up singing songwriting, what would be your advice to them?
I'd say, you know what, if you want to do it, do it. Get up and just try. You know, I think from the 8 years that I worked as a careers advisor, I advised so many people on so many career paths. And I remember many of the times when people would come in and say, I want to do music. I want to do, you know, something, you know, and I'd light up because obviously I love doing that. And I wanted to do that as well, but wasn't at the time. So I'd really passionately encourage them to, you know, just to try.
Follow your dreams.
Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, if you want to do something, just get up and do it. Mm. And if you don't succeed, try and try again. Maybe that's my favourite quote.
You wrap that nicely. Yeah. And for the listeners, Tashara, can you give them your email, sorry, your website address?
Yes, it's tasharaforest.com. You can also catch me on Facebook at Tashara Forest, Twitter Tashara _, and Instagram Tashara_X.
Just trip off the tongue. And how about an email address if people want to contact you?
Tashara@tashareforest.com.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Tashara. So that
thank
was Tashara,
you.
Tashara Forest from tashareforest.com. And we'd like to thank both our guests on today's show. That's Elizabeth Hutton, Chief Executive from kickscount.org, and Tashara Forest from tashareforest.com. And also thanks to my lovely co-presenter, as always, Sharon Finch.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and hopefully get them on a future show. Details of past and future guests are on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br and Twitter at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening and join us again next week for Just Women, 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated 8 o'clock on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Ivana O'Brien.
And it's goodbye from me, Sharon Finch.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.